السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praises are Allah's, Lord of the worlds. And may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salawat, yes. I also want to thank the committee and the very warm audience for the last 3 or 4 nights. A special thank you to Dr. Gambar's family, which were very hospitable during the last 4 nights. Dr. Gambar, very special person. I benefited from his character, his dispositions. He's someone very important, I think, for this community. And I want to thank the family in general. I want to apologize for those who wanted to see me, but I wasn't able to arrange a meeting with them. Houston, now this is the last of the 4 states that I visited within a very short period, just over two weeks. And it's a bit exhausting, and after a while it can get a bit difficult. And I was only here for 4 nights, so inshallah next time there'll be more time and I can see more of you. Inshallah. And just one piece of advice to the community in general. If a member of the community is being oppressed, or a member of the community is being suppressed by another Muslim, especially, I'm just speaking in general terms, just I want to give you a general equation, a formula, and you do nothing about it and turn a blind eye or execute silence in relation to the matter, moment to moment you're building your hereafter in the negative way. As you breathe, there's no specific incident in mind, it's just a general comment I had after these 3 or 4 days I was here. Okay. Tonight I want to speak about the importance of having an Irfani world view. This is important, and one of the reasons is this. Alhamdulillah, 35 years ago was the start of the Islamic Revolution. Imam Khomeini came, and it was the start of hope and many things for Iran and Muslims in general around the world. Imam came with a multidimensional message. One part of it, one dimension was in fiqh. But Imam wasn't only a mujtahid in fiqh. He was also a mujtahid in akhlaq. He brought an akhlaqi message too. He has the deepest books in akhlaq that exist today. And it's not only the fiqhi dimension, not only akhlaqi dimension, he was a mujtahid in akhlaq, ethics, the science of ethics. But also he brought the Irfani dimension, because he was a mujtahid in Irfan too. In his writings he says, in his speeches he says, the revolution was based on the Irfan which I learned. Now, if some people, now be they in Iran or here, anywhere in the world, they stick to Imam Khomeini's fiqhi dimension alone, they stick and suffice with the external aspects of the fiqhi dimension that Imam has, such as Wilayat al-Faqih. They only stick to the superficial aspect of Wilayat al-Faqih, for example, something which Imam brought. But they reject Imam's ethical and Irfani teachings. That person. If they're a leader, they won't allow the community to grow. If they're not a leader, they won't grow themselves. This package is multidimensional. You can't take some of it, reject the others. Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh said, a community without Irfan, it's a lifeless corpse. If you stick to the external, you won't grow. You'd be surprised how many times people of all classes come to me and say, don't speak about Irfan, these people don't know about their wudu. They don't know about their salat. But the answer is, haven't you ever thought why they don't know about their wudu or salat? The way you explain it to them, if you only suffice with the external, superficial dimension, there's no spirit. You see? If the Imam brought this multidimensional message and then you stick to the external dimension, you reject his Irfan, you don't accept the ethical dimension either, and you actively don't want the Irfani message to come out, you're doing a disservice to the revolution. This revolution was multidimensional. This revolution that me and you are indebted to was from Imam Khomeini. He got it from the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. But it was from Imam Khomeini, a multidimensional figure. Fiqhi, akhlaqi, irfani. If you only get one aspect, reject, you're doing a disservice. That's one point. Some people come to me and say, now when you speak, don't say any controversial things in Irfan. You know, just say the things which the common scholar, they all accept. Don't say anything controversial. The question again is, when it comes to the fiqhi dimension, and you're a very strong proponent of Vinayata Faqih, do you say the same? Just speak about what the common scholar says about fiqh and wilayah. You see? No. Actually, they're very strong. They come out. We support Vinayata Faqih. Doesn't have to be a scholar, even me and you, general people. I'm not limiting it to the scholars here. The general, the common Muslim, me and you, who keep on defending Vinayata Faqih, but when it comes to the Irfan from the Vinayata Faqih, just say that which the common scholars say. Don't make it controversial. It's wrong. This is a wrong approach. Especially for the youth in the West, it's going to cause problems. A community without Irfan, lifeless corpse. Now, this is a hujjah for you all. Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh, one of the a'lams in Irfan, it's his statement. In the same way in the Sharia, we have to go to the a'lam. Now, be it Ayatollah Sistani, Ayatollah Khamenei, but we have to go to the a'lam, whoever it is. When you know someone is nowhere near the a'lam, no one follows them. How come suddenly in Irfan and tariqas now, any person can now, you just listen to anyone? In the same way that you're going to be held accountable by not following the a'lam in the Sharia. Because if you follow the a'lam, the most learned in the Sharia, even if his rulings were wrong, you're justified in the hereafter. Because you believe he was the a'lam. What about in the tariqah? Just thinking that someone lives all their life, there was no Irfan whatsoever. So these things, we need a balanced community. And if it's not going to be balanced, many forms of extremism amongst the youth will develop. I'll stop there. Yes, okay. So this Irfani worldview, Imam, when he wrote a letter to the then president of the Soviet Union, I've gone through this letter before, I won't go through it again, but just as the first point. It was a letter to the West, how the West should be introduced to Islam. There, he used the scholars in philosophy and Irfan when doing tabligh in the West, to non-Muslims, but even to Muslims. The same equation follows. Here, he says, the works of Ibn Arabi, the works of Mullah Sadra, just demonstrating the importance of Irfan once again. I'm not saying you people to read Ibn Arabi or Mullah Sadra. I had to study for 10 years before starting Mullah Sadra. If you do Mullah Sadra without those 10 years, it's going to be a messed up picture you're grasping. You have to go through the steps. But books on Mullah Sadra, they've been written. Books on Mullah Sadra's teachings, they've been simplified. Books on Ibn Arabi have been written, have been simplified by many scholars. They exist in English. That's another point. But he introduced the Urafa. Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh, in one of his works, 1001 Points, he says, in reality, if it were not for the learning and teaching of the likes of, then he gives a number of books now. So if it wasn't for the learning and teaching of these books, what are those books? Tamhid al-Qawa'id is the first book in Irfan they teach in the houses. It's by Ibn Turki. Shawahid al-Rububiyyah by Mullah Sadra. Khaji Tusi's commentary of Isharat. Isharat is by Avicenna. Fusus al-Hikam by Ibn Arabi. And its commentaries, especially Allama Qaysari's. Asfar by Mullah Sadra. Misbah al-Uns by Ibn Fanari. Shifa by Avicenna. And Futuhat al-Makkiyah by Ibn Arabi. If it's not for the teachings and learning of these books, the understanding of the secrets that are concealed in traditions, in the ahadith, which are the inner dimensions of the verses of the Quran, will not be feasible. In all truth, these aforementioned noble books must be deemed as esoteric interpretations for elevating one's understanding of the Muhammadan message. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, for those, we can't all go to the seminaries. You would have to read simplified versions or lectures or books of these books. But the secrets of the traditions, to open up the spirit of the verses of the Quran, if it wasn't for these books and their teaching and their learning, those secrets would not come out and the message would be deficient. When the message, what you understand from the message, is deficient, well, you can now imagine how your life will progress. In another book he says, Irfan is the science, Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh, Irfan is the science of building man, which in effect involves the soul's ascension to knowing Allah and its elevation by incorporating the divine lordly attributes within oneself and to discipline oneself with the divine etiquettes. An Irfan-less community is tantamount to a lifeless corpse. True Irfan is made up of the logic of revelation and the traditions issued by the infallibles. Okay. Now, we have Irfan and we have the science of Irfan. These are two different things. I want to speak now about the importance of the science of Irfan. Irfan is when you start seeing beyond the physical realm. Irfan, that awareness of the metaphysical. Indahu ilmul ghayb fahuwa yara. Does one have knowledge of the unseen to qualify as a seer? That metaphysical has to be seen, not with the physical eye, of course. A physical eye can't see something which is immaterial or metaphysical. It's impossible. Two different realms, mutually exclusive. Irfan is seeing. Now, it can be seeing of the realities of the cosmos, heaven, hell, and so on and so forth, or it can be seeing the stations, the steps to getting to Allah. The first one is being called theoretical Irfan, the second practical Irfan. But Irfan is seeing. That's the goal. Some people may be illiterate, but they see and they're benefiting. That's the goal. They don't need the science of Irfan. It's not a prerequisite. It's a good preliminary, the science of Irfan, to seeing, but it's not definite. It's not something, it's not a must. The fruit is seeing. I don't want to speak about Irfan in this lecture. We want to discuss the science of Irfan, when those scholars who have seen are now writing it up in an organized manner. If what they are seeing about heaven, hell, the realities of the cosmos, they then come and write what they saw, they defend what they saw, it's called a book on theoretical Irfan. The science of theoretical Irfan. If what they saw was a holy figure coming and giving them 40 steps to get to Allah, they come and write the 40 steps, they support and defend it through and buttress it through the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt verses of the Quran, but they were visions. They come and write the 40 steps. It's a book now in the science of practical Irfan. In some books in practical Irfan, it speaks of 360 steps. Some speak of 100 steps. It doesn't matter. It all depends on their visions. But they're all supported. The findings aren't just mentioned. It's all supported through the verses of the Quran, traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. This is the science of Irfan when it comes and it's written now in a format. Whoever studies or even teaches the science of Irfan, they still may be very corrupt people. There's no definite. Just because someone teaches the science of Irfan, they can be some very evil. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that these people will begin to see the metaphysical. There's no. But the science of Irfan has one use out of the many uses. And it's this one use I want to focus on tonight. And that this science of Irfan can help in establishing one's Muslim identity here in the West. Because also, that identity, if it's without Irfan, that identity, its worth is on a par with a lifeless corpse. And this identity is important. Many parents or grandparents here, they were brought up in Iran, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, so on and so forth. They learned religion another way. I'm not saying if it was good or bad, but they would never question it. Whatever they were told, they accepted. For some reason now, they decided to move to America. Then they send their children to an educational system where they're taught to question everything, criticize everything, evaluate everything, not accept anything before it's substantiated before you. Oh, yeah, problems arise now. In addition to the problems of they can't even relate to one another, clash of cultures, all those things, in addition to all the technological barriers separating them, the parents or grandparents having no idea, even the 7-year-old can do things now that they can't even dream of. In addition to all these problems, and you're all aware of the different kinds of problems that there are, but now the child wants to learn aqaid, the Islamic doctrine. Can the parents teach them? No. It's not possible. I don't want to sound pessimistic, but it's almost, yes. There may be some exceptions, but what I'm seeing in the few states that I've been to, it's not working. Sometimes I would even wish that the parent wouldn't even teach their children, because the child has questions, rational questions, legitimate questions, and the answers they're getting doesn't suffice the child at all. But the child, out of respect, says thank you, but then he comes to me, and then it's another story. And the parents, there's going to be responsibility. Why did they come to America? I'm not saying America is bad, but when you were brought in a certain way, did they force you to come to America? In some cases, yes. They were fleeing from Taliban, for example. You came here. And this doesn't mean after many years here, now you take them back there. No, that can be even more problematic. But I'm saying responsibility is here. This question of responsibility is going to haunt you one day. But I don't want to speak about that either. You brought them here. You've given them technology, education, to realms that you had no access to. And now these children are intelligent, they're rational. It's part of the fitrah. When they ask questions and about it, it's going to be difficult for someone who's learned religion in a totally different way to suffice for their needs. These are just some of the problems we're facing. But the parent who has humility and says, no, I don't know, son. As you go to this scholar, Alhamdulillah, today we have many scholars, English-speaking scholars, and so you go to them, email them, and they'll give the answer. That parent is worth a lot of praise. Instead of just saying something which they don't understand themselves fully, and it causes problems. You have to be careful. I'm just saying this aspect of responsibility, don't take it lightly. So it is having a Muslim identity here in the West. Something which can help is that Irfani worldview. Now, let's go through a few statements from Imam Khomeini. In his Sahifa, which is a compilation of all his speeches and letters, he says, let's not distance ourselves from the Quran. In this dialogue and whispering between the lover and beloved, there are secrets that no other but him and his lover may have access to. The lover being the Holy Messenger, the beloved being Allah. This dialogue between Allah and the Holy Messenger, there are secrets which no one has access to even. And then it says, even the possibility doesn't exist to have access to it. Something between them. Many of the noble verses to which scholars of the letter, scholars of philosophy, scholars of Irfan and Sufism provide commentaries or esoteric interpretations for themselves is of the same nature. What does that mean? Very delicate point. Depending on which science of Islam you are a scientist of, it is nowhere in the Quran saying ilm al fiqh. You can't find it, the science of fiqh. There's nowhere in the Quran says ilm al tafsir, the science of tafsir. Science of history, science of mathematics, science of akhlaq, science of irfan. These things aren't
got. But all these sciences, they extracted their own principles, filled up all on and traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. It's bizarre when some people say, Islam, we don't have it in the Quran and traditions. We don't have any science there. Ilmul Fiqh, can you see the science of Fiqh somewhere in the Quran? Yes, the literal word Fiqh may be found, but the literal word Irfan can't be found too. Let alone that Irfan is found in the Quran and traditions, but I mean, that's not the point I'm saying. It's bizarre when they just want to limit Islam to one or two sciences. Some people have a problem with Irfan. Some scholars. There is a place where I think it's more relevant to come to that then. So here's this fair, it's a science, it has its principles, it has its own principles, extracted from the Quran and the traditions. Tafsir has its own principles, extracted from the Quran and traditions. Kalam, theology has its own principles. The scientists of these scientists, their degree of benefiting from the Quran depends on the principles that they have. They're limited in their access to the Quran. They see and benefit from the Quran through the principles of their science. Now, someone can believe in a believer of all scientists, of all sciences. Someone can be a scientist of all these sciences. They benefit maximally. The Holy Messenger benefited completely. But the scientists of different sciences, they also have a share. They all depend on the principles of their science, and therefore, if the science of Irfan, with its vast, abstract, metaphysical principles, say something, declare something, say something through their principles, which is extracted from the Quran and traditions, those who are confined to the science of fiqh or theology, they won't understand. They don't even have access to it because they haven't studied the science. Very delicately worded here. In the same way that we don't have access to what the Holy Messenger had access to. That was complete there. Also, within the different sciences of Islam, there are some sciences which have access to the Quran which other sciences don't. Each to their own criteria. But the scientist who has mastered all these sciences, they will benefit more and they will benefit the community more. That was one point. In another of his works, Fardul Salaf, he says, those who invite towards the mere letter of religion and prevent people from accessing the inner etiquettes of religion, and who say, other than this letter and shell, the Sharia bears no meaning or truth. Just the external, the superficial army. These people, the Muslims, are the shayateen upon the path to Allah and thorns in the way of humans. No one has the audacity to speak like this. Just quoting him, someone who's mastered all these sciences. Why shayateen? Because they're acting as an impediment to the spiritual growth of the masses. In another, he says, continuing from that, he says, one must take refuge in Allah against their vice, because they cancel and eliminate the light of the divine fitrah, which is the light of gnosis and tawheed and wilaya in man. And were a divine theosopher or lordly Gnostic to open a door amongst the doors of mercy before Allah's servants, and to read the page of the pages of divine wisdom, these people will not be barred at all in calling them names, bad names, swearing, and acting takfiri style. These people are takfiris. Yes, some takfiris we have today, Sayyid Hasan Nasr, for example, gave this very appropriate title to them. These Wahhabis entering Syria and other places, killing them. You say Amir al-Mu'minin, you're a kafir. You pray like that, you're a kafir. You do this, you're a kafir. You're always a kafir. We have takfiris in Irfani circles too. And this was the point I wanted to mention earlier. Some scholars, for example, in relation to, I don't want to mention names, but true orafa that everyone accepts. Have passed away, but these orafa, if you mention the name, every person accepts them. Then we get a scholar come, and it's videoed, and they publicize it, where the scholars come and say, X, Arif, is a kafir, is shaitan, is this, that, and the other. It's incredible. A kafir. And keeps on swearing at him bad names, ugly names. That scholar is limited to his own principles. If only he knew the reality of the matter. What is the reality of the matter? Some people came to the Holy Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, the Holy Messenger was with his companions. They encountered this person. He said, I don't know, every time I see you, you know, I don't like you. I hate you, actually. Holy Messenger, calm, compassion. But he said, I hate you. The companions that were there, they wanted to do something. Then they continued their route. They encountered this other person and said, oh, every time I see you, I love you, I really like you, and so on and so forth. Then the companions got confused here. He said, Ya Rasulallah, this difference, how can you explain this difference of emotion expressed by two different people? He said, we are people's mirror. We are the mirror of people. They see themselves through us. Since the first one was bad and ugly inside, of evil disposition, he saw evil in me. But he's just saying, when you convert the reality, he's just expressing his inner aspect. He was evil. That's why he saw me as evil. The other one was good and decent within. He saw me as decent and good. We are the people's mirror. Then that scholar kept on swearing. In dreams too, this is important. The scholar came to him and said, I was only 20 then, I wasn't involved. And we were speaking about the ulama, the orafa, and everything. And then this scholar, he was a very strong scholar too, said to me, X, Arif, that you mentioned, I think I had a dream that he was doing something with. They do this sin. As a result of the dream that he had of this Arif, he didn't accept the Arif. And actually it had a bad effect on me. Even the Arif, 19, 20 years old, this big scholar coming and speaking like that. Only when I came to home and studying, I was good grief. The scholar was just expressing his inner side. When you see scholars in your dreams, scholars are supposed to be the inheritors of the prophets. In the study of dreams, when you see a scholar doing a bad action, don't think the scholar is bad. Since you're seeing yourself, The scholar is your mirror. And when you see your... It is helping you. It's not bad. But it's your mirror. You're doing those evil. Don't think the scholar is bad or not to develop that thing. The signs of being has a lot of different meaning. So actually, it seems very bad. The video of your population with your mother being grieved has a very good meaning. But one thing is, oh, good grief, what's happening here? They get scared. They feel embarrassed. The signs of dreams have very delicate meanings. Don't judge for yourself. And again, it's a science. You have to look at the scientists of this science. You can't just make up your own conclusions. So, in relation to Islamic doctrine, in relation to acts of worship, that the reforming worldview is important. It teaches you the inner aspects of avarit, the inner aspects of actions. Although Salat is a good book, I recommend it to everyone. Preferably with a scholar. And if you're not a scholar, you'll benefit some. You'll benefit from it. If you want to learn capacity, because written for the lay person, but it's a bit difficult. In relation to arising dilemmas, the reforming worldview can answer these dilemmas. And in my lectures now and again, I'll give an example that I didn't want to do for you. And I did want to speak about one approach of Erfan, which was in relation to the Quran. I've spoken about it, it's online, you can all see it, but for reasons of time, and I had another speech tonight also, I didn't think it was absolutely in the last night and the Friday night, I'm reading tomorrow, inshallah, with the information about Sophia. But this, the inner aspects of Lana, in addition to the superficial meaning, you can find it online, inshallah. Thank you. People are awesome, finish. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه وامنن علي رأفته ورحمته ودعاءه وخيره ورؤيته اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وارحمنا يا ارحم الراحمين. We're all sinners. Forgive us our sins. We're all weak. Protect us against all forms of satanic temptations. Guide us on the straight path. The deceased members of our family and friends, enlighten their souls. Hasten the appearance, the advent of the Prophet Muhammad, the Savior of mankind. Protect all Muslims against all forms of oppression, especially those in Kashmir, Palestine, Lebanon, Iraq, Pakistan, and all other countries in Afghanistan. Oh Allah, protect our leader from the forces of global arrogance, in Nabi, Allah.